Access number 30,005, Mr. Ted Hitchcock, Reel 5. Now, when you drop the bombs, would you all drop them at the same time?
Yeah.
In formation?
Yeah.
And would that make a difference to the aircraft? Could it, you know, the flying characteristics?
Oh, yes, you can always tell on the go.
Why? No.
Well, there's a weight, isn't there? You've got 4,000 pounds there.
The aircraft would lift.
Yeah, the aircraft lifts, you can feel it. Plus the fact, of course, you got your bomb doors open and it was whistling, the breeze is whistling around there, it's cold.
And what would you do after you drop the bombs? Do you see what I mean? Would you turn back immediately? What would you do? Would you fly on for a bit or what?
Okay, close. Well, as I say, at the briefing, the flight commander would tell you what he intended to do. Now he may choose a certain spot on the coast if he knows there are no guns there. And he would say when we leave the target, I mean usually when you bomb you stick your nose down, get away. But if he's got any ideas about a safer spot to cross the coast, he would do it.
So you wouldn't fly back in formation, or would you?
Yes.
You'd still be in formation.
Oh, you stay in formation because
you... But you've gone loose, out to loose again.
Pardon?
Back out to a loose formation, though.
Well, possibly, yes, but you see, there's just as much chance of being attacked by fighters on your way back.
Were you very often attacked by fighters?
No.
That was rare?
No, it was very rare because we had a close escort.
Now tell me about that. We haven't talked about this. Who was your close escort?
Well, usually Spitz. And we picked them up at the coast. And they would drop down to sea level with us and they'd be with us until the flak started and then they would pull away, but they wouldn't go very far. But usually, you see, the targets were mainly army support. And...
I think that's later again.
Well, not...
The targets all seem to be ports in the first two or three phases.
Ah, very well. Anyway, you had a fighter escort, and their job was to get you there. The job of medium bombers was to prang the target.
What about getting back?
And
would they escort you back as well?
Oh yes, but you'd have a close escort, and then you'd have a medium cover. Very often, and then you'd have a high cover as well, which you never saw. But if it was a big op, there'd be a lot of aircraft involved, and you wouldn't see them.
So you didn't see much of German fighters because
no.
All these close, medium, and distant escorts and sort them out.
Yes, they were there to do a job, and they did it. They were not supposed to. Your kind of close escort were not supposed to join in any fights at all.
Now, so on the way back, would anything happen? The flight back, a typical flight back, just fly back then.
Yeah.
And what about the landing arrangements?
Well, there again, the aircraft were numbered. 1 to 6 in the box. When you got near or in the circuit, the leader would give echelon starboard, which meant that the aircraft, you'd got 1, 2, and 3. So 3 had got to get the other side 2. And then you came in and you landed in the same order that you took off. but it was that was when the leader gave the echelon and straightened up.
And what happened when you landed there?
Well, it all depended. If you'd been hit, badly, then you would be marshalled off to the hangar. But if it was, you know, if you'd just had a few dints and whatnot, then it would go down to dispersal, and the lads would work on it.
You'd hand it over to the ground crew?
No, the ground crew took over then, yeah. Yes, the ground crew took over. Transport would pick you up and take you back to the ops room for debriefing.
What was the debriefing like?
It all depended. I mean, if it had been a rough trip, you know, things were different. If it had been an easy trip, but our intelligence officer, Jock Scotchman, is quite a character.
And what would he ask you? I mean, what did he want from you?
He wanted to know exactly what happened. Anything to report. And he would send in a report. But, when you got back to the ops room, the first thing you did was hand your escape kit in and draw your tackle, grab a mug of tea and a cigarette, and just settle down.
Would you have this famous crew breakfast that Bomber Command did, or would you not get that? The eggs and bacon when you've done the raid.
The what?
The special air crew breakfast, eggs and bacon, like Bomber Command did. Would you get a special meal like that?
No. We used to get an egg. It was a recognised thing that if you've been on an op, you got an egg.
Yeah.
So it all depended what time of the day you got back, you see. I mean, with Bomber Command and the big lads, they got back round about breakfast time.
And yours were daytime raids, weren't they?
Yeah.
I should have made that clear earlier. Now, tell me, how did you get on with your ground crew? Do you know what I mean? Because how much were you reliant on them? Did you realise you were reliant on them? What did you think of your ground crew?
We were always encouraged to mix with the ground crew. I've known flight commanders come in the crew room and say, stick a packet of cigarettes in your pocket and go down the flights. And we used to do that. Used to go down to the flights and if there was nothing doing, the lads would probably have a game of cards or something like this.
Would you socialise with them in the pub or
anywhere
like that, or just?
Well, not outside.
Did you appreciate what they were doing for them?
Yes, you did.
Did they do a good job?
They did a good job, yes. Marvellous.
Now, how would you spend your time when you weren't in a raid?
Well, when the battle order was published, when a battle order was published, if it had got a time on it, you knew very well that you were on at 7 o'clock or what in the morning. Now, there was very often a battle order published and no time on it. That meant that if anything happened, you were standing by. And then there was another day when we had a standby, and you were on the battle order, you were on the standby, so you were expected to be ready immediately the tannoy went. And the tannoy would go and say, briefing 10 minutes, transport immediate, and it would also give the bomb load for the armourers to load up. If there was nothing doing, you just hung about in the crew room. And
what was the crew room like? Can you describe, what did they have in there for you?
Oh, nothing really, apart from a dartboard and whatnot.
No chairs, I mean?
Oh yes, there were bags of chairs and a big table. Yes.
Anything to make your tea?
Hmm?
Kettle?
No, we didn't bother about that.
So you just sit in there, basically?
Well, yes. Or I used to spend a lot of time in the armoury. And I used to say to the lads, right, officer of the armoury. Another day, if there was not much chance of anything doing, the lads would, they'd be somewhere else on the camp.
So why would you go to the armoury? What would you do when you visited the armoury?
Well, I was always interested in guns and whatnot. And I used to pop along there and talk to the lads.
Would you work on your own guns?
No.
Were they guns that would be handed in and back and, you know, or were they kept in the machine?
Well, no. The guns were changed periodically, but they were maintained by the armourers. But if you got your own aircraft, then it was up to you to go out in the morning and pull them through, make sure the barrels were all right. But no, the armourers were good lads. You see, it's only a small unit compared with the heavy boys. You know, everybody knew everybody so much better.
How many aircraft were there then? Sorry, should I?
Well, I don't know. We got two flights. We used to put seven up in each. That's 14 aircraft. That's a couple of dozen, I suppose.
And that was it?
Yeah.
And what would you do? Tell us what the sergeant's mess was like at that base.
Which one?
What did it offer you, drinking? I don't mean where you live, because you were out in billets, weren't you, in the hall. But what was the sergeant's mess like?
It was... Swanton Morley was very good.
Can you describe it?
Yes, he was. It wasn't bad at all. Food was good. The bar was very small at the time. It was just a small window, but you still get your drink.
What about drinking habits? Did people drink much?
Varied.
What about you?
Varied. Well, I didn't. But,
you never drank?
I did drink, yes. In fact, I tell you, I used to spend a lot of time with Reg, his navigator. And we used to spend quite a lot of time, when we weren't on ops, down at the local pub.
So rather than the mess, you go to the pub?
Yeah.
What was it like? What would you do on a typical visit to local pub?
Well, you play darts or whatever, but we didn't go down early. In fact, they usually used to put leftovers in the mess at night for later on in the evening. And Reg would often say to me, come on, let's go and see what there is to eat. And we'd go and have something to eat. And then there was a bus which used to go back to the garage. It was about 8:30. And very often we'd walk out to the gates and we'd catch a lift on that down as far as the pub. And then go and have a game of darts or whatnot. But the beer was bad. It was rough.
Yep.
Stuart and Patterson. And so Reg and I, we started drinking black and tan.
That's, just explain that. Is that Guinness and
Mild? Well, it's not Guinness. It's
Porter.
It's stout and mild. And it wasn't a bad stout, actually, but that's what we used to drink normally.
And how many pints, roughly speaking, what are we talking about?
Well, if we went down for the evening, we might have 3 pints.
So what they call social drinking, not getting particularly drunk, a bit merry perhaps sometimes.
Well, we used to have special dues on in the mess. Suddenly, somebody would decide it was about time we had a bit of a social. So, okay, it was approved. On occasions, we used to invite the ground crew. It didn't go down very well with the warrant officers, but we used to invite them across.
What would a sergeant's mess guest night be like?
Sorry?
What would a sergeant's mess guest night be like then?
Well, I'm talking about sort of a a casual effort, but if you had a real puck-a-do in the sergeant's mess, I mean, I've known the time when there's been 3 or 4 salmon and bags of food, billiard room table absolutely full. But they didn't happen very often.
So what about these other nights? You know, where you'd invite the ground crew in, what would that be like?
Well, that we used to get the lads in, and it was an excuse to buy them a beer, I suppose, really. And then we'd decide that so much of the drinking would be on the mess. Which, as I say, didn't go down very well with the WOs, but... There was a good feeling at Swanton Morley.
And you and Reg got on very well in your career.
We did.
What about
Flying
Officer Doyle.
He was commissioned, you see.
What difference did that make?
Well, it meant that socially we didn't mix. I mean, Larry didn't drink a lot. And he spent most of his time, I think, in the mess. But he was a good pilot.
So you weren't friends with him like you were friends with Reg?
Oh, no, no. No. I mean, Reg and I used to spend most of the time together.
Now, if we look at, do you remember any of the rated, those early raids in particular? It seems to have gone, say, Mallow, that's on the docks, you know, and as I said, we mentioned before, the Le Havre. Do you remember any of those raids and what actually happened? I don't mean, you know, we've gone through a typical raid, but do you remember any of the incidents?
No, docks? Not really, no.
Any of the dock things, anything happened ever? Flushing docks? There's stuff about intense flak here, and then there's attack on a viaduct. I don't know whether you remember that. You don't remember individual raids?
No, not really, no.
Any incidents you do remember from that early period? Seems to go to
the well, line. during the Boston period, We went on one raid, and...
Do you remember what he was on?
No, I don't, as it happens.
Don't worry.
But we set off on this raid, and we got very near to the coast. And the weather clamped down. There was a thick fog came rolling in. And we're in this fog, and suddenly... Tommy said, Christ, what's that? And we were in a bloom barrage in the fog. And Larry immediately dropped her onto one wing and pulled up. And you know, when we cleared the fog, there wasn't another Boston to be seen. Don't know what had happened to them. But we all went back to base. And we found out what had happened, that the fighter rendezvous points were normally Portlandville and Selseyville. And on this occasion, they'd sent us out over one by mistake, and it should have been the other. And they'd pull the balloons down at the wrong port.
So it was a British balloon barge?
Yes.
And that was on the 11th of February, 1943.
Was it?
Judging by, I'm looking at your, I've got the events, you're looking at your logbook.
Ah.
But it was during a raid on Boulogne, but you never got there.
No.
You ran into, on the coast, British coast. Now, any other, did you have many casualties during this early phase? There's one reference to a Boston being shot down, but there doesn't seem to be any other, you know, mentioned. I just wondered, did you suffer many casualties in the first few months?
We lost odd ones, I suppose, but I can't think of any in particular.
How did you react to casualties amongst people you knew?
Well, this is something you got used to, you see.
In what way?
Well, it's a different life. It's an entirely different life, and you've got other things to think about. It's very difficult to explain, and it may sound callous, you know, when you talk about it. It may sound callous, but it's not. I mean, you've still got the feelings, but you've got a job to do, and that's most important.
So you put them out of your head?
Well, yes, you do. You see, if you think about this business of a 15-second bombing run and predicted flak taking 10 seconds, it's there all the time. But you don't bother it, you don't think about it.
You didn't get more nervous as it went on then?
No.
Now, do you remember anything else about your time with them? You seem to have been with them until April. Well, it seemed to be your last operational flights back end of February, and then you seem to leave them in March and go to 1482 bombing and gunnery flight at West Raynham.
What happened with Larry? We went on an exercise. We were dumped.
That's exercise Spartan.
That's right.
On the 4th of March.
We went on Spartan.
Now, what was exercise Spartan?
Exercise Spartan was laid on. It was a practice effort for the invasion. And we were fighting against the Canadians, I think. Anyway, they dropped us off on this airfield, or at the side of the airfield in the woods with the aircraft. And we lived off a field kitchen. And we weren't allowed to leave the drone.
Which airfield was this? Was it Chironia?
I don't know. I forget now.
And what were you practicing then? What were you just practicing?
Well, yes. What actually happened, they suddenly said, so many aircraft bombed this bridge or whatever it was. And then when you came back, they got umpires there, and the umpires would say, two of the aircraft were badly hit, they'll be out of commission for a couple of days, and this was it. And this, there was a trip, and we weren't on it. And Larry went to do what he could for the pilot that was on it. He went and ran the aircraft up and got it all ready for this bloke to take over. And he took the chocks away. And then he went through to the nose wheel to take the link off, and he was hit with a prop. Actually, two blades of the prop hit him. I never saw him afterwards.
He gestured to in his head?
Yeah.
Did it kill him then?
No, it didn't kill him, but he was rushed out to hospital. He had a silver plate put in his head. He went back to America, and he flew again, but not operationally.
Now, he was injured in that exercise on the 4th of March.
Yeah.
And that seems to have stopped your tour, or at least partially, for a
while.
Well,
no, yes. So
you get a Sergeant Levy.
Yeah, well, Sergeant Levy came to take over Tom and myself. He was a good pilot, but he wasn't a good two-group man.
In what way?
Well, you never knew where he was. He was a good pilot, but he was a funny bloke. You were never sure that he was going to be there or whatnot.
Well, by there, what do you mean? You mean you wouldn't...
Oh, well, all right. He wasn't a good crewman, and obviously the authorities noticed it.
Now, in what way wasn't he a good crewman? I
mean, well, yeah.
Wouldn't he turn up? Or
would he he'd turn up, and he'd turn. He would be late, or
so late to briefings, that kind of thing.
No, because we didn't do any briefing. We never got onto ops. We never got onto ops.
So he'd be late when?
But you never knew where he was. You couldn't rely on him. And the authorities...
Was he scared?
Eh?
Was he scared?
No, I don't think he was scared. I think he was just an odd bod. I've got an idea that he'd been on a mosquito squadron. But he was a funny lad. But anyway, he didn't fit in with the hierarchy. And that was it. He was posted. So I was a spare bod, waiting to go onto heavies. And then